You learned about the DTU model. In this episode, you'll learn how you can level up with some new options that are only possible in the vCore model. This week on Data Exposed. Hi, I'm Anna Hoffman, and welcome to this episode of Data Exposed MVP Edition. Today, I'm joined once again by Matt Gordon. Thanks for being here again with us today, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
And in the last episode, we talked about the DTU model. And while the DTU model is important, there's also another model available for you. Matt, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so there's kind of a common misconception that the DTU model is going away and that everything's going towards the vCore tier. And that's not really true. It's a different way to look at it. And in my experience, sometimes that can be a little bit easier to translate to management as well. Because they're like, well, I don't know what a DTU is. And you can send me all the articles and videos you want, but I know what cores are. And so I want to license it by cores because that's how I do it now. So that's when I go to a customer, that's kind of how I explain that. So why don't we take a look into what these are?
Awesome. Sounds great.
Okay. All right. So yeah, so there's three, I would say three and a half tiers here. So let's kind of go through what those are and we'll work left to right, which is, you know, these all meet similar needs, but obviously you can see from the IOPS number and the latency numbers, you're getting more performance out of each tier and there's some architecture differences as well. So general purpose, if you want to license by vCore, is going to be where you start. And you'll note there's two compute tiers here. So there's provision, which is kind of what we all know and maybe love, which is, you know, I am provisioning resources that I will use. And like it says, it's billed per hour based on the vCores you have. Then there's serverless. So let's take a minute. We'll kind of hop out of this. We'll go to serverless because there's some interesting things there. So I think the name is silly. It's not serverless. There's a server there. There's a computer somewhere running this, but that is kind of a very trendy name. But so what it is you're not necessarily provisioning physical hardware to you at that second. It's to handle more kind of bursty workloads where it's going to say, okay, there are some VMs maybe warmed up and I'm going to go grab those and I'm going to give you a lot more machine than you had because I can see that the workload's getting a lot more demanding than it was. And so what you've got here is you have min and max vCores, and basically that's telling it kind of what's the range, where should I always need to be in? And you measure that off your workload. And that does affect billing as well, because as the text says, this is actually billed per second based on the vCores used. And you see that over here. There's the storage cost and then compute is billed separately. So you can set min and max there and kind of tell it where to cap out. And that's one way you would manage costs here. And auto pause is also, that's an important thing to set because that's going to tell it basically as the database has gone idle, when is it okay for it to auto pause? Now, bearing in mind that as the workload starts to ramp back up, there can be a bit of a delay in performance as it pulls the resources back in that it needs. And you can also set max size down here as well. So that's serverless. It's newish, so a lot of folks haven't seen that. So I wanted to make sure I ran through that. We'll go back to provision here as well. So one thing interesting about the vCore license, and again, something else where a manager might be interested in this, is if you're using the Azure hybrid benefit, then you're able to bring that license here. So that's something, again, managers like to hear that, saving money. They're all about that, especially now. And then here we kind of have what we're used to. Maybe if we've dialed up other Azure SQL databases in the past, we can go from two vCores up to 80. So you'll see we've started here at pretty basic. We've got a terabyte, two vCores. And as we start to ramp those up, you'll notice, just as you'd expect, the cost goes up as well. And so that's general purpose. For me, it's almost like an equivalent to standard in the DTU model. Then let's jump to hyperscale. So hyperscale is kind of an odd duck. And you'll see, and this is what I really want to call out here. So the architecture under hyperscale is very interesting, and we probably don't have the time to go into it now. but it's capable of massive workloads that no other tier is. However, because the storage architecture is different, the way it approaches backups is different, all of those sorts of things, you can't hop from it to another tier. And if you try to provision a database that does this, you basically have to sign off and say, okay, I know I'm not going to call support and say, oh, I have hyperscale and now it needs to be something else. You can't make that change because the architecture is vastly different. And it's really, really cool. But like I said, probably out of the scope of our chat here. And so now that we've bumped up here, you see we've got vCores here. We can store up to 100 terabytes, which is pretty exciting. We can go up to 80 vCores, just as you'd expect. The cost changes quite a bit. We also have secondary replicas here as well, which does, you know, give us the ability to scale out our reads. But as you suspect, the more hardware we introduce here, the more the cost goes up as well. The last tier that I want to get to, and for me, this is kind of interesting because when you're up into these tiers and you're talking about hundreds of thousands of IOPS and things like that, a lot of times this is a customer that's coming from a very robust on-prem environment. And a lot of times, especially if you know they've done anything SQL Server in the last 8 or 10 years and uptime is a big deal, there is always on HEs there. And you know, a lot of times that conversation with me will start as like, well, we have 24 node AGs and we want all those up in Azure and we want to save a bunch of money. And just introducing a bunch of VMs and kind of lifting and shifting everything you have and putting those AGs in Azure is not going to be the right answer. But something like this tier very much can be, because under the covers, it's the same thing. Mostly, like, it's a very similar architecture, but you don't need cluster knowledge. You don't need your Windows ops folks involved. It's all managed for you. And now you're certainly paying for that, but you know, that can be a nice transition from somebody probably who is talking to me now who thought maybe 2 or 3 years ago, oh, there's not enough power in the cloud for what we do. There certainly is now. And it's just part of kind of explaining what we can do here. Again, we've got our Azure hybrid benefit. We've got vCores, and you know, just as you'd expect, just as we've gone over, you'll note as we expand the vCores, we expand our storage here as well, up to the cap of 4 terabytes. We're able to turn on read scale out here, similar to what we went over just now, and we're able to turn on zone redundancy as well. So that's basically redundancy within an Azure region. So you're not vulnerable if there's an issue with one data center. That's not going to take you down as long as you've turned this on. And you'll note when we turn that on, the cost actually does not change.
So thanks, Matt. This has been a really great explanation of the different service tiers within the vCore purchasing model. I actually learned a bit myself about the business critical model. So thanks for sharing that with us today. You know, as people look at these options, similar to the DTU model, how would you give advice on which, you know, level to go to, or which, when to level up, when to level down? Because there is, like you mentioned, a cost associated with that.
Yeah. So it kind of depends what you're after and how much influence, let's say, management has as well. I know a lot of my customers, the DBAs, know what a DTU is or are familiar with it. The managers want the vCore model, and so we end up here. And obviously, you can get more performance out of these tiers as well. It really depends what they're after. Like I mentioned, if you're wanting to simulate your always on AG environment in a platform as a service offering and get all the warm fuzzies that comes with all those nodes, then you would go probably business critical here to get that same feeling. But otherwise, it really depends. You know, how many IOPS do you need? How much performance do you really need? And with the special call out to hyperscale, you know, if you need, let's say you have a 20 terabyte database on-prem, you have to go to hyperscale. You don't have a choice, but you didn't have that choice before. It used to be if you had 20, you had to do lots and lots of tricks. So yeah, it's really kind of all what you want. And if you have a really bursty workload and you don't want to manage that by turning performance all the way up and all the way down and all that, serverless probably is the right answer, despite the silly name.
Awesome. Well, you know, Matt, I know you're a race car driver, and I think you had a really great analogy. I didn't want to stop the show without letting you share it with us.
In racing, typically, especially from the driver's point of view, the more money that I spend, the faster I'm going to go, because the problem is never me. It's never my skills. So it's something with the car that needs to be better. In Azure SQL, it's pretty similar. The more performance you want, unfortunately, the more you have to pay, but you also get more speed, and speed is fun.
Speed is fun. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us on this, you know, short series, these two videos, Matt. We really appreciate you being on the show. For our viewers, we hope you enjoyed this little mini series. Let us know what service tier you're moving to, what you've learned throughout this video, and we hope to see you next time on Data Exposed.